morning, Dwayne Bell versus City of Chicago. Mr. Berner?
Please the court. This is a case involving Chicago's vehicle impoundment ordinance, which has been before this court before, but never in this light. I would like to start by saying that in the district court, unfortunately, we put forth, we made a facial challenge, which is what we're making today again. It never was an as-applied challenge. That being the case, I want to be up front. My client being convicted of a drug possession charge has no relevance at all to facial challenge against this ordinance. Throughout the district court and in the brief here, defense counsel Chicago wants to say, don't worry about this case. Mr. Bell was convicted in court. Well, the fact of the matter is, what if it was thrown out in court? What if he went to court and they quashed his arrest? It wouldn't be relevant because we're looking at the four corners of the document. So give us that benefit of the doubt that this is a facial challenge, that it violates the Fourth Amendment in three distinct respects.
So I don't quite understand how you get over Florida v. White, because it recognized the automobile exception. Here, the car was in a public place, and you're not disputing that illegal drugs were in it.
All right. I'm glad you brought that up, because that argument was not raised in the district court. That argument was raised in the appellate brief for the first time. So technically that would be waived, but I understand that's not a limitation on this court. It's a limitation.
No, it's not.
It's a limitation on the parties. However, the Florida forfeiture statute defines a vehicle as an article of contraband. The impoundment ordinance does not. It's simply an impoundment ordinance. It says a vehicle is used to facilitate the offense. It doesn't say anything about it being contraband or an article of contraband. Now, if we call it, which they have changed that, defendant has changed from it being a simple towing ordinance where they take your car because you used it unlawfully, they impound it, they charge a $2,000 administrative fee. So in the district court, it was just kind of like a towing ordinance just to get rid of the car. Here it becomes a forfeiture ordinance, not an impoundment ordinance. And if you would, it reminds me of, once you mention it, it reminds me of the statement made by Abraham Lincoln. He said, he was asked a question, if a dog's tail was a leg, how many legs would a dog have? And Abraham Lincoln responded, four. Because a tail isn't a leg. This is an impoundment ordinance. It's not a forfeiture ordinance. It has no forfeiture provisions in it like, say, the Illinois or Florida Forfeiture Act. If it was a forfeiture act, I would submit to the court that they're entitled to a preliminary review hearing in court. And in the state of Illinois, if it's a forfeiture statute, they're entitled to a trial by jury. So what that undercuts their argument, and that's why I didn't care whether it was waived or not, because it's not a forfeiture statute. So not being the case, the Florida, the GM leasing and the case that you mentioned are not applicable. But that's not the only problem as far as it authorizing seizures for 26 different violations, from wheel tax stickers to expired decals. Which would be hard-pressed to suggest that that's contraband, that that vehicle becomes contraband, and it's not defined in the impoundment ordinance as contraband, like it is in, was in the Florida forfeiture ordinance. So you've got two things. There's no warrant whatsoever. Any case, it's warrantless. And the other thing that the defendant has now strayed from in the its argument in the lower court is that there's no arrest made. There is no arrest simply because they take the car. We produced a mountain of information to suggest and state and prove that when you pull the car over, it's an arrest, seizure of a person within the meaning in the province of the Fourth Amendment. Now they say they don't dispute that. They realize that it is an arrest within the Fourth Amendment when they pull the car over. Now, the trial judge said, you know, the ordinance never mentions arrest. It never mentions it. So there's no arrest. Well, I'm not from Chicago, but I thought that the Constitution was elevated above a Chicago ordinance. The whole problem is the ordinance ignores the Fourth Amendment. It ignores the principles of the Fourth Amendment. That's why this is a facial challenge. So it's deficient in that it doesn't require a warrant in any case. Just like many of the Supreme Court cases, like the Patel case, where you could go in and look at records at a hotel. You didn't need a warrant or a pre-judicial compliance review. So that's one. The second thing is, although they call it a preliminary review, they don't review the arrest. They don't review the propriety or the reasonableness of the seizure of the person or the seizure of property. All they do is say, did this offense occur by probable cause? Yes. It doesn't say before the incident occurred, was there probable cause? So that's the second deficiency. The second one is, since when does an administrative officer or proceeding have a right to make a judicial determination of one's constitutional rights? Where is that in the law? I have never found it. Now, I have challenged, I practically begged Chicago Council, tell me the statute or the source of authority that says that an administrative agency can make, for example, oh, could they say freedom of speech? Could they say the billboard is offensive to our minds? It violates the First Amendment. Why can they go and make Fourth Amendment decisions? Well, they didn't want to admit that. That's why they said there was no arrest. But now, when faced with it, they find that there is an arrest.
Well, you have the problems now with the Shadwick case, which in that case there were clerks who weren't even lawyers who could issue arrest warrants for breaking city ordinances. And here they're not connected with law enforcement, the hearing officers. They have to be lawyers for at least 3 years. They get special training, and their decisions are subject to judicial review.
All right. Well, number one, in Shadwick, the municipal court judge supervised that clerk. It was part of the court system. In the state of Illinois, municipal courts were outlawed by the 1970 Illinois Constitution, so they were within the judicial branch. Secondly, there's a big difference between issuing a warrant and conducting a preliminary cause hearing, probable cause hearing. That's a judicial function. In addition, that particular state had legislation that allowed him to do that. Here there is none, and here there is no warrant issued. So if there's no warrant issued, how is the Shadwick case appropriate? It really isn't. And in addition to that, the one other very important point that they disregarded, they tried to explain away by saying there was no state claim decided by the trial court, but Illinois has a comprehensive implemented system to protect Fourth Amendment rights. It has suppression hearings, preliminary cause hearings. It does not give a clerk the right to issue warrants, as the other state that this court mentioned. The only one that can issue a warrant is a judge. That's why in this ordinance there are no warrants issued. It's expedient, number one, You grab the car, you don't need a warrant. Number two, they know they can't issue one. They cannot issue a warrant in the state of Illinois. So there is no warrant requirement. They just take your property, they take your person, they exercise dominion and control over it. They never need a warrant. That's clear. Secondly, there's no mechanism in the ordinance to determine whether they had probable cause. Thirdly, it's a judicial function. The identification and protection of constitutional rights is a judicial function. It's not an administrative function. I asked them time again, where is your statute that gives you the right to make constitutional decisions? They could not do so. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Halpert.
May it please the court. The district court properly dismissed plaintiff's Fourth Amendment claim. To begin, the Fourth Amendment does not require a warrant to seize automobiles used in violation of the city's impoundment ordinance. The Supreme Court in Florida versus White held that the Fourth Amendment did not require a warrant to seize a vehicle that had been used in a drug transaction, thus rendering it subject to Florida's contraband forfeiture statute. Bell's vehicle was likewise observed being used to transport illegal drugs, making it subject to the city's impoundment ordinance. Plaintiffs attempt to distinguish White as involving forfeiture, but that is irrelevant because the holding in White rested on the historical approval of the warrantless seizure of vehicles containing contraband and not on the resulting forfeiture. Plaintiffs also attempt to distinguish White by belatedly challenging other grounds for impoundment under the ordinance, including unpaid tickets and expired license stickers. But to begin, plaintiffs lack standing to challenge the constitutionality of any provision of the impoundment ordinance to which they were not subjected, and plaintiffs waived any challenge to other provisions by raising them for the first time in the reply brief on appeal. And in any event, the Supreme Court long ago recognized that the authority of the police to impound vehicles pursuant to their duty as caretakers of the streets is beyond challenge, as stated in South Dakota versus Opperman. Now, as to the point that was raised on oral argument that the city concedes that there is an arrest made anytime there's an impoundment, that's not true. What we stated in our brief was that when a person is pulled over by police, that is indeed a Fourth Amendment seizure, but if there's an arrest, that issue becomes an issue for the state courts in the criminal proceeding. And what's at issue before the city's Department of Administrative Hearings is the civil procedure on the impoundment and the resulting fines. And that's a separate procedure from the arrest. And the full panoply of Fourth Amendment rights is available and adjudicated in the separate state court proceedings on the arrest. And the district court also correctly recognized that the right to a hearing following the seizure of property is a question of due process and not of the Fourth Amendment. And plaintiffs have cited no authority holding that the Fourth Amendment requires a probable cause hearing following the warrantless seizure of property. In Gerstein versus Pugh, the United States Supreme Court held that the Fourth Amendment requires a prompt probable cause determination as a prerequisite to extended restraint of liberty following an arrest. And this was due to the high stakes involved in the loss of personal liberty from the detention following an arrest, but the court has not extended that Fourth Amendment principle to property seizures. And in any event, the city's administrative law officers are sufficiently neutral, detached, and qualified to satisfy the Fourth Amendment. Thus, even if the Fourth Amendment hearing requirement recognized by Gerstein in the criminal arrest context applied to vehicle impoundments, the ordinance would satisfy the Fourth Amendment by providing a probable cause hearing before a neutral magistrate within 48 hours. In Shadwick, the court held that a clerk appointed by the city's clerk, an executive officer, pursuant to the city's charter, could make probable cause determinations to issue arrest warrants for ordinance violations as long as that clerk is neutral, detached, and sufficiently capable, even if that clerk is not a judge or a lawyer.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about these particular officers? How are they appointed? To whom do they answer? Tell us a little bit about these folks.
The administrative law officers are lawyers who have been lawyers for at least 3 years. They're hired as independent contractors by the Department of Administrative Hearings. They're given special training within the branch of the ordinance violations that they will adjudicate. And then their final determinations are subject to administrative review in the circuit courts of Illinois pursuant to the administrative review.
The Department of Administrative Hearings is an independent department of the city government?
That's correct, yes, Your Honor.
I see. And what is the standard of review for appeal to the circuit court?
That depends on the particular question that's before the court on administrative review. Questions of fact go up on a manifest weight of the evidence review. Questions of law are reviewed de novo. Questions of applied law to fact are reviewed on a mixed standard. I believe it's a clear error standard. So it's similar to an appeal from the circuit court up to the appellate court. And then that standard of review applies again in further appeals to the appellate court and to the Supreme Court. So there's an actual statutory process that lays all this out and allows for administrative hearings in municipalities like Chicago, and then makes them subject to judicial review.
And that's in the Administrative Code of Illinois?
It's the administrative law. It's the Administrative Review Law is the act. It's 735 ILCS 5. I can't recall the exact chapter.
Don't worry about it.
Okay. and the fact that the clerk in Shadwick was an employee of the city of Tampa's municipal court does not matter because the Supreme Court specifically stated that a magistrate could be any neutral, capable executive, legislative, or judicial officer who is capable of making a probable cause determination. So for all these reasons, and unless there are any further questions, the city respectfully asks that this court affirm the judgment below. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Counsel. You have 5 minutes, Mr. Berner, if you have any rebuttal.
Well, the very last line of Chicago's brief cites the County of Riverside versus McLaughlin. And they say the Fourth Amendment, they're talking about warrantless arrests, and they have admitted in their brief that when you pull the car over, which you have to do, and you exercise dominion and control over the person, it's an arrest within the Fourth Amendment. They say this, the Fourth Amendment requires only a judicial determination of probable cause within 48 hours. That's their statement. Now, it doesn't say an administrative decision. It says a judicial determination. I take that to mean that a court of law does that. Now, we're sitting in the state of Illinois. In the state of Illinois, a clerk can't issue a warrant by law. A clerk can't conduct probable cause, Fourth Amendment constitutional proceedings, no matter what. Now, there was some allusion to the Administrative Review Act. My response to that is this. If a court or a body doesn't have subject matter jurisdiction, review is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. Just like I didn't have to exhaust administrative remedies because I'm saying they don't have jurisdiction to decide that. So the administrative review is just, it's not appropriate, and it's just a way to get around the duties of the court. So it just isn't the case. So I would suggest to this court that if you rule for the city, here's what your order would look like. Or your opinion. In the city of Chicago, for 26 different violations that involve a vehicle, including a vehicle sticker tax, an unexpired license, they can take your person and seize it. They can take your property and seize it without a warrant every time, regardless. So if your car is in the back of the parking lot and the sticker has fallen off, better watch out because they can take it without a warrant. And then guess what? When you say there was no probable cause to take it, they say, bring that up in court. Don't bring it up here. Well, you bring it up in court and you win in court, so what? So the second thing it would show is it'd say, even though there's no mechanism to determine in the initial instance whether there was probable cause or not, to seize the person or property doesn't make any difference because the Fourth Amendment really is not going to be invoked. Thirdly, you're going to have to say they have the judicial power, the city, as if they were a municipal court to determine constitutional rights, and that opens up a large area from everything from the First and Second Amendment to any other Bill of Rights. And although the city doesn't want to talk about the history of the Fourth Amendment, there were two primary causes. There are two primary things behind the Fourth Amendment when it was instituted. And the framers' intents were twofold. One, that they wanted to get away from general warrants, where you could just take people's property without a warrant. What does this ordinance do? That's exactly what it does. The second thing is they relied upon the federal court to enforce the Fourth Amendment and the Bill of Rights. This does not allow that to be the case. The parallel proceeding, if you will, which they keep going back to, is irrelevant here. What is relevant is they can take your car and they can charge you a fee of usually $2,000, which is an in personam action, not an in rem action, which is a forfeiture. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. The case will be taken under advisement.